I'd like to look this morning at verses 9 through 12. Proverbs 21, verses 9 to 12. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The scripture declares in that first verse, it's better to live on a rooftop. It's better to dwell in the corner of a house. Actually, that word corner there means a tower. Corner part, like the a bulwark, tower, a guard. It's better to deal in a tower. It's better to deal in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman. Now, humanly speaking, it'd be better, and I always like to just tell exactly, humanly speaking, what the scripture's saying, and this goes both ways. It'd be better to deal separated, at least in your heart, separated from existing or associating with a nagging, quarrelsome, and fault-finding woman or man. I mean, I tell you, if you've ever witnessed or lived in a relationship like this, I'd venture to say it's got to be the most unpleasant thing to behold or to exist. If you've ever watched and seen two people that just couldn't get along. I mean, it was just a constant fight, a constant bickering, constant nagging and quarreling and contention. You know, you just think to yourself, look, get me out of here. I've had about all of this that I can stomach. Now, humanly speaking, that's what it's saying. That's exactly what it means. Nobody wants to live in a place or dwell or associate yourself with somebody that just all they want to do is fight and argue. Well, sadly to say, I'm sure that there's many marriages that fit that description. And it would truly be sad to behold or to experience a marriage like that. But as the Proverbs always declare, it's more. That's a bad situation. But the Proverbs is not dealing with that situation as I just set forth. What this scripture is setting forth is actually looking and considering the situation of someone that has been made to see themselves in a place where a brawling and contentious and angry woman is a picture or a character of all false religion. Now, this brawling woman that's being spoken of right here, hold your place right there. She's set forth first in Proverbs chapter 7. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 7. This is a picture of false religion. This is who this brawling woman actually is. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. The scripture declares, starting in verse 6, at the window of my house, I looked through my casement, And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, when there's no light, exactly what he's saying, no spiritual light. It's just dark. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart, and she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's a woman that's said to be in great commotion and tumult, rebellious, withdrawn, never at rest with herself, never at rest with God. She's always agitated, always clamorous, always making loud and confusing noise because of the message that she preaches. It's always confusing. It's always stubborn. Stubborn against God, obstinate, self-willed, and rebellious before the God of heaven. And the scripture declares also in Proverbs chapter 7 that she's nothing but unfaithful. That's all she is. She's unfaithful to God. Look at verses 18 to 20. She says to this simple one that she's luring, she says, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She is a spiritual adulteress. And yielding to her advances is nothing more than actually the destruction of the soul. The scripture continues to set forth, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life. This is a picture of false religion as described in the Word of God. Hold your place in Proverbs 21, turn over to Revelation chapter 17, continuing to describe this brawling woman, false religion. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Here is this harlot, this brawling woman. Verse 19, Lord willing, the next message, she's called a contentious and angry woman. Angry, mad, mad at God. Mad at God's gospel, mad at God's people. She's angry. And the scripture sets forth that the kings of the earth have been made spiritually intoxicated, drunk with the wine of her false free will, God despising, man exalting doctrine. She's got one person, one purpose. She's got one purpose. This is it. The destruction of the kingdom of God. The destruction of the church, the bride. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6 says, concerning this great whore, this great spiritual whore, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So this woman, this brawling woman, the scripture sets forth that it is better. It's better to dwell, the scripture sets forth, on the corner of a housetop, separated out of the house of that woman, than to dwell with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, what's her message? Well, it's the message that every man born in Adam loves. It's that doctrine, that message that tells a man that he can cover his sins by his own works, by his own effort. That's exactly what happened in the garden. What did Adam and Eve do? They'd rebelled against God. They got them some fig leaves. That was their attempt. And this is what this brawling woman does. This great harlot, this loud, angry, contentious woman, that is better to dwell in a tower, a corner of a housetop, than in a wide house. That wide house, that means to share companionship with, or to associate with. It's better. Get away from her, is what it's saying. But the amazing thing is that man by nature doesn't know that until the Spirit of God comes to him in irresistible and saving grace. Here's the amazing thing. Man by nature is content to stay with that brawling woman. That brawling woman, that harlot of false religion. He's satisfied to drink the wine of her rebellion against God. He loves it. The reason he doesn't know that he's his own worst enemy, and the reason that he embraces her is because he's got her heart. She has his heart. She got his heart. He's part of her. That's this part. But when the Spirit of God comes and shows a man what is actually going on. Now, I'll tell you, there's many of you I know have sat under the glorious message of God's free and sovereign grace all your life. But there's something that is amazingly eye-opening and revealing when you have sat, as I have, in false religion, and you know what's being taught. Even if you've been here, you know what's been taught because you've been taught what's being taught. But I mean to actually have experienced it and seen. And at one time loved. There was a time in my life you couldn't have convinced me. There is no way you'd ever convince me that the truth of man having his own free will, a man having his own ability to be able to reconcile himself back to God, you couldn't have changed my mind if your life depended on it. It was going to take a new heart. It's going to take a being born from above. When a person, when a sinner, by the grace of God, has been made to see that, and he sees the vileness of his ways, he realizes his rebellion against God, and he flees. He gets out. He says, I can't stay here anymore. I can't stand to hear that message anymore. I can't. You hear in your heart, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And by God's grace, you come out. You leave where you would have never left before. You'd have never separated yourself from that brawling woman. And now you see that brawling woman, that angry, contentious, hateful, self-centered woman for who she really is. And you see now that her anger is truly against God, because you've learned something about that brawling woman. Look now at Proverbs 21. Here's what you've learned. Verse 10. You've learned this. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. The soul of that brawling, contentious, angry woman of false religion. Here's the only thing she desires. Evil. You'd have thought at one time, no. No. I don't desire evil against God. But now I did. I didn't want God to get all the glory. I wanted some of it. I wanted to believe. I did believe. I am the source. I'm the foundation of my destiny. I made my decision. I made a covenant with death and with hell. I'm in agreement. I've exercised my free will. Don't tell me I was. The scripture says it's evil. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. What do you mean, your neighbor? Well, here's what the word neighbor means. Your companion, your lover, or in the definition, any person of the human race. Here's the soul of the wicked that desires evil. His neighbor, everybody else, those he associates, all human race, they find no favor in his eyes. That means the wicked, false woman, brawling woman of false religion, here's what she tells her neighbor. I love you. I love you. I love everybody. Everybody's my friend. I want everybody to know the Jesus that I know. That's exactly what she wants. That's exactly what she wants. I want everybody to know the little J Jesus, the little G God. I want everybody to know the God that I serve, the God that wants to save everybody if they'll let him. The God that's up in heaven wringing his hands, trying his best to save everybody, because you see, he sent his son to die for everybody, they say. And if you'll just exercise your free will, he'll save you too, just like he saves me. But his neighbor truly finds no favor. That brawling woman longs and covets and lusts after evil. Evil against God and evil against everybody else. His neighbor is not favored in his eyes. There's no love. There's no sympathy in that contentious woman. Her heart is earnestly set to do evil, to work wickedness, and so strongly does she desire to do evil, she will not even spare her own companion, those that are with her. They're lying. They're lying to everybody that sits there. I'll tell you this, someone that truly loves somebody, you will not lie to them. Now, it may hurt if your wife or your husband asks you something. Now, it may hurt to tell them the truth. But if you love them, you'll tell them the truth. I mean, you're not gonna try to deceive them. You don't try to deceive someone that you truly love. You don't. You'd rather tell them the truth and just bear the consequences, you know, than to lie to them. Because as soon as you lie to them and they walk away convinced that you told them the truth, it'll tear you all to pieces. Why didn't I just go ahead and say it? Why don't I just go ahead and be straight up, be a man, be a woman about it. Just go ahead. You're not going to lie to them. So one that truly loves you, the scripture says concerning the soul of this wicked, she finds, their neighbor find no favor in his eyes. He doesn't, they're lying. So the believer, what does he do? He's learned that. What does he's learned. So he separates himself from her. He realizes there's no love here. There's no love. There's no love of God. There's no love of me. There's no love. There's no love for God's honor. There's no love for God's grace. There's no love for God's purpose. There's no love for God's choosing. It's all about her, me. So he separates, and because he's been taught the error of his ways, been delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan, and Satan's lies. And so now he sees something by faith. Look at verse 11 and 12. He learns that when the scorner, And the scorner is punished. The simple is made wise. And when the wise is instruction, he receiveth knowledge. And the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. But the house of the, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. And he sees something by faith. It's been revealed to him. The same thing that's taught in, turn back to Proverbs 19, verse 25. Proverbs 19, 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Now, smite a scorner. What is a scorner? We kind of know what that is. What is the definition of that word? Here it is, a scorner. One who despises scoffingly the most sacred precepts of piety and holiness. That's a scorner. One that scoffingly despises the truth of God. That's a scorner. Smite a scorner when the scorner is punished. And I know this. We know by faith that there's coming a time when God Almighty is going to punish in the day of judgment. Now we know that. I believe with all of my heart there's coming a day when we're all going to stand before God, and the sheep are going to be separated from the goats, and the sheep are going to be in his right hand, and the goats on his left. And the reason I believe that is because that's what God says, and that therefore that's the way it's going to be. And so I believe that there's going to be a time when he's going to speak to those on his right hand. He said, enter in to all that's been prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. I believe that. And he's going to turn to the goats and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I believe that. I know that there's when the scorner's punished. I know that's going to happen, but there's another punishment that a believer beholds, if not every day, very often. What is it? Every time one leaves this world that did not know God. How many times, believer, does anybody that you know of, that made no confession, no free and open confession of believing God, believing the God of this Bible, that believed the gospel of God's grace. Let's say somebody that died in your family. I had a cousin that just died 2 days ago, 3 days ago. I grew up with him there in central Louisiana, a couple of years older than I was, and died of bladder cancer. Well, that hit home to me. And I thought, I know he, as far as I know, let me say this, he never heard, never believed the gospel. I don't know. But if he left this world without God, I know what happened. When the scorner's punished, would that happen? Well, look at Romans chapter 1, and verse 28. I'll read it for you. You can turn there, Romans 1:28. Listen to this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not convenient. Whenever someone leaves this world that obviously knew not God, They made no confession, didn't believe the gospel, never associated with God's people, set under the truth of the gospel of God's grace, and confessed, but they put all their hope and peace and comfort in a brawling woman. You behold the smiting of a scorner. You behold the judgment. You behold one being punished. God left him. When the scorner is punished, the simple, the silly and easily persuaded, who is that? That's all of us. That's a picture of all of us by nature. When one is punished, the simple and it is made wise. Those, they're made wise. They're made wise by the regenerating power of God, and wise to their own former state and of unbelief, wise unto salvation by Christ alone, having been separated from that brawling woman of false religion. They're wise to the fact that they are what they are by the grace of God. They know that. And wise to their only hope is being kept by the power of God. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise afresh. Oh, but for the grace of God. That'd be me, Mark. That'd be me. But for the grace of God, if God would have left me to myself, left me to be content to live with that brawling woman, and hadn't called me by His grace, called me out of darkness, I'd be right there. The simple's made wise, and when the wise is instructed, when he's given understanding, he's made sensible of who God is, and who He is, he receiveth knowledge. He receives it. Why? He takes it, accepts it, and seizes God's instruction and knowledge. Why? By a new heart. Not by himself. God left me in my old heart. I wouldn't have received it. I wouldn't have taken it. I wouldn't accept it. But made willing in the day of God's power. Having been born again. And lastly, for this first message, verse 12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. The righteous wisely considers the family. When it says the house, it's not talking about the structure. It's talking about the family of the wicked. Wisely considers that temporal state of the wicked's fleeting and present earthly glory of false hope in that family of false religion. That's a family. They're like we are. We're a family. Here's the family of God, built on the foundation of Christ. That's the house of the Lord. That's the house of God. But the righteous wisely considers the house of the family of the wicked. That house has been built on the sand, shifting sand of sure destruction. When the winds and the rain comes, you know how the scripture says, a foolish man built his house on the sand of himself, of his own ability. And when the scourge of God comes, what's going to happen to it? So he wisely considers the house, that house that dazzles the eye of the unregenerate. And he thinks, boy, this is wonderful. I'm happy. I've made my peace with God. But the righteous man wisely considers, because he knows something. What does he know? Well, the latter part says, God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. That's why he wisely considers it. That believer, wisely instructed, he knows now the joy and the importance and the blessing of being able to know God. And instead of when he considers the house, the family of the wicked, this verse of scripture becomes a joy to him. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I don't want to go back to the house of the wicked no more. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there where God's not honored. I want to go where the Lord, I want to go to the house of safety, the house of sanctuary. I want to go where there's true worship, worship of God, the house of His building, the house where He dwells, where truly the foundation is Christ. It's better, verse 9, to dwell in a corner of a housetop and with a brawling woman in a wide house. It's better to dwell in that corner. I told you when I started this, that word corner means tower. That's what it means. What tower? I'm going to read this and then I'll stop for right now. Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 1 to 3. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. It's better to dwell in a corner. It's better to dwell in a tower. Separate. Than to dwell in the house of a brawling woman. I pray God bless these words to our heart. Let's take about a 10-minute break. And Lord willing, we'll come back and pick up right there and go through 19.